Well, amen. This morning we are continuing our study on the doctrines of our faith. Today we'll be talking about the doctrine of sin. When we talk about doctrines, we're talking about the things that we teach, the things that we believe, our core beliefs, according to God's Word. Not according to mankind, but according to God's Word. So as we look into the doctrine of sin, by way of introduction, sin is as much a part of life as air is a part of our breathing. It's as real as the devil who is responsible for it. And sin truly is public enemy number one for us. We're going to be in scriptures in Romans chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 23, but we're going to go over a lot of scriptures, so keep your Bibles handy. In this lesson, we're going to look at three main points: the origin of sin, the consequences of sin, and the remedy for sin. The origin of sin, we've studied about in Genesis, and then last week we studied about the doctrine of man. We want to look at the origin of sin first, the definition. What is sin? 1 John 3:4 says, "Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is defined as living in defiance to God or in rebellion to God and His Word and His perfection. And we are living with inherited sin. We inherited it from Adam and Eve, and we could go into the depths about what sin is. There are sins of commission. That's something that God has explicitly forbidden in His Word. We could talk about the omission, sin of omissions. That's sins that when we know to do the right thing, we don't do it. We're all guilty of that at some point. But basically and overall, we're living with inherited sin because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. The origin of sin is spoken about in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 14 in two verses. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So this, the context, there's two contexts to this scripture right here. The original context is talking about a king, a Babylonian king, who wants to become a god over a lot of nations and whose pride caused him to eventually fall. The secondary context is about the fall of Satan. We talked about last week the fall of man. This week we're looking at the fall of Satan. These verses here are telling us that the beginning of sin started with heaven and Satan. And remember this, that Satan's fall happened before God created everything that He created. So He was already on the scene. We know that as we look further in Scripture, because He's shown to us as the serpent. But He was already there. Remember that. If you'll notice the "I wills," "I will ascend," "I will exalt," "I will sit," "I will ascend," "I will be like the Most High God." He wanted to be equal with God. That was his sin. It was a sin of pride. It's a declaration of arrogance on his part. And that's what caused him to fall. So sin is a result of what Satan, Lucifer, wanted to accomplish. Thankfully, God didn't allow him to accomplish everything he wanted to accomplish. But yet we know that we still deal with him today. Every day is a spiritual battle. So we have to be very careful to not forget that and realize that He wants us to fall. He wants us to stumble. Even after we get saved, His main goal can be to cause us to drift away from God and to begin to live a worldly life. He can't touch our salvation, but He certainly can cause us to mess up if we're not careful. So we need to be on our P's and Q's. So the origin of sin comes from Satan. The first sin and the first sinners is outlined in Genesis 3, 1 through 19. We don't have time to go through all those verses, but the gist of the verses are talking about when Satan tempted Eve, and then Eve caused Adam to sin. The first sin was what? A sin of disobedience. We still deal with that today. Even though we know right from wrong, we still have this old sin nature that we deal with, and if we're not careful, we'll do things that we know are wrong knowingly. Not by accident, many times by choice. That's why we had to be so careful to keep our eyes on things above, keep our eyes on the Lord, not get caught up in the worldliness that we deal with every day, everywhere we go, whether it's at work, whether it's just in social gatherings. Satan's always at work behind the scenes trying to get us to stumble. And we're all susceptible. No matter how long we've been saved, no matter how much scripture we might know or memorize, if we take our eyes off the Lord, we are susceptible to falling away. So the first sin was disobedience. And since that time, since that moment, everyone that's been born in this world is born into sin. That's us today, born as sinners. We've got some scriptures here in our outline that explain the doctrine of original sin. The first one listed is Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This, as we know, is part of David's prayer, seeking forgiveness. When he comes to the Lord, and he acknowledges the fact that he sinned against God in his adultery with Bathsheba and in planning the murder of her husband. And so he's in Psalm 51 there. He is asking God to forgive him. David realized after everything he had done. Why? Because his conscience, the Holy Spirit, told him, you can't live like this. Our Holy Spirit does the same thing to us. Have you ever noticed that when we do something wrong, the Holy Spirit immediately brings it to our mind and lets us know? That's if we're listening to Him, if we're allowing Him to guide us and direct us in our lives. He will point out to us our weaknesses. When we mess up, the first thing He'll do is let us know. The first thing we should do at that moment right then is seek forgiveness. Make sure that we stand before the Lord clean. Don't wait until later in the day. Don't wait till, hey, at night I'm going to confess all my sins. Why? Because our memory fails us. Satan will place things in our minds and in our lives that will cause us to forget. We'll be living with sin. We don't need to be doing that. We cannot do that if we're going to be what God wants us to be. If we want to serve the Lord in the best way possible, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Then we have to act on what He tells us, what He shows us, not just blow it off. So easy to get caught up in life, isn't it? The things that happen in life, things that we're not expecting happen to us, and we get caught up in things of the world, things at work, things that happen to us in our lives. And all of a sudden, before we know it, we've got something that's breaking fellowship with the Lord. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but we need to be so very careful to keep our eyes on the Lord. That's why it's important to be careful what we listen to, what we watch. You know, TV is a great thing, It can be used in a lot of positive ways, just like the internet. A lot of positivity about it, but there's a lot of negativity about it. And we can't get caught up in the negativity of listening to everything that's on TV or everything that's on the internet, because it's not godly. A lot of it's terrible. And then the second verse is Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just like sheep, we're just like sheep. If we're not careful, we'll wander away from the shepherd, from our shepherd, the Lord. And it's easy to do. Family situations, things that come up at work, people oppose us. It's easy to wander away from the Lord. That's why it's so important to stay in God's Word daily. Make sure that we spend our prayer time daily. That way the connection is still there. We've said often that our relationship, once we get saved, our relationship is never in doubt with the Lord. Once we trust Christ as Savior, our destination is confirmed. We will get to heaven. But we can lose fellowship. We can deviate from our relationship with Him, our daily relationship. The best way to keep from doing that is to stay in His Word. Don't miss church services. Listen to good preaching and teaching, and then apply it to our lives. It's not easy. A lot of people say it's easy being a Christian. It's not. Not if we want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. It takes effort. It takes concentration and focus. And if we're not careful, we can lose that focus. And that's what Isaiah 53:6 is telling us there. We can waver from God's standard of perfection. We'll never be perfect till we get to heaven. But we should be striving for it every single day. Then we have Romans 3:23. A very familiar verse. If you use it in the Romans Road as we witness to people. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we know, are sinners. Every human being has broken God's moral standard of perfection. We can't live up to His holiness, because we have our old sinful body that we still live in, that we won't be shed of until we get to heaven. So we know that we're sinners and that we fall short. So that's talking about the origin of sin. Let's look quickly at the consequences of sin. There are consequences. And as our outline says, what does sin do? Think about that for just a second. What does sin do? What does it cause in our lives? What are the results of sin? The first point says that sin alienates us from God. Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, God's power is limitless. If our lives seem to be caught up in sin, and maybe there's a lack of power to help us stay away from temptation and stay away from sin, it's not because of God. And it's not because he doesn't care. He does care. He loves us. And sin will build up a wall that breaks close fellowship with God, just like we were just talking about. And he turns away. He doesn't have to answer our prayers. Many times he answers with no. Sometimes he says, not now. And then sometimes he says, wait, to answer our prayers. He'll always answer them in one way or the other. But when it seems like that he's turned his face from us. That's a consequence of sin. That's why it's so important to stay clean before the Lord. And then sin activates man's true nature. Psalm 51:5 that we talked about with David. Our wrong actions reveal our fallen nature, our corrupt nature that we inherited. It's important to remember that we inherited it, but we don't have to live like it. We don't have to live with sin in our lives. God's already paid the price, the penalty, to absolve us of sin, but He still is every day giving us the opportunity to stay away from sin. There again, it's a choice. We talk about it all the time. We make choices every day, all day long. We just need to make the right choices, and that's up to us. And then sin accelerates man's physical death. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God's Holy Spirit constantly warns us, convicts us of sin. If we allow Him to, as He guides us and directs us, He does it. Have you ever sat down in your prayer closet and said, Lord, here I am again. This is number 9,212 times that I've been to you about this, Lord. I know better. And yet, Lord, I've still allowed myself to do this. That's inevitable. That's all of us. But God is so long-suffering. He's so patient, so good, that He forgives us and He wants us to. But we can harden our neck to the point that we don't listen. That we don't listen to the Holy Spirit and do not allow Him to convict us of our sins. And there can come a point in time when God's patience runs out. We need to be very careful that we don't accelerate our physical death by hardening our heart. And then sin abandons man to spiritual death. Romans 6:23. It's another part of the Romans Road that we use when we witness to people. It's one of the, I think, pivotal verses that we can use because we have to make sure that people understand what sin is and that we're all susceptible to it. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I'm witnessing to people, I always pause right there and explain to them about wages. And I always tell them, when you work, you get paid for the work you do. That's your wages. That's a payment for what you do. Well, there's also a payment for the sins that we commit. And that payment is death. Not just physical death, but separation from God eternally. The main word in there is but. But the gift of God. And then we explain to people about the gift being something that's free. We don't earn it. It's not payment for anything. The payment's already been made by Jesus on the cross. It's a free gift. But we have to accept it. Many people will hear that. And I've had gone through the plan of salvation sometimes 2 and 3 times with them to make sure they understand, and they just don't get it. It's free. Not something I've earned, not something I can do myself. I can't work to get that gift. It's a free gift. But then the consequences of sin also affect a man's prayer life. Psalm 66:18. It's one of my favorite verses because it offers to me no excuse. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Remember the old commercial that comes on TV and says, what part of that don't you get? That's what I think of when I hear that verse. What part of it don't I get? If I've got sin in my life, if I have sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Ouch. That hurts. But it's true. God does not have to listen to us. He does not have to answer our prayers like that. So that's a terrible consequence of sin. One of the best Bible studies we can do is to study about those things that hinder our prayer life. When you have time sometimes, sit down. There are about seven major things that the Bible teaches that will hinder our prayer life. And they're in black and white. There's no doubt about them. We don't have time to go through them now, but it's a good study. Then the consequences of sin are seen in Paul's statement about sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I love these verses because it's so easy to illustrate. I should have brought my piece of corn that I used to use on the church bus with the kids all the time and take that piece of corn and break off one little kernel. And I say, if I plant this one little kernel in the ground, guess what I'm going to get from that? Two apples. And the kids would all say, no, 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 no. You can't get apples when you plant corn. And that's true. And then I can hold up my ear of corn and I can say, this little kernel turns into all these kernels. But you know what? It doesn't happen overnight, does it? It takes time for that one kernel to grow into this ear of corn. So we do reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow, but we reap later than we sow. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is the same thing. It says, be not deceived. Don't be foolish, is what it's talking about. God is not mocked. You can try to bypass God or ignore God's moral order in life, but it does not work. You can't ignore it. You can't bypass it. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. Actions produce works. So what we sow in our life, what we do, how we live our life, it's going to come back to us in one way or another. If we sow to the flesh, if we feed or give in to the old fleshly part of our body that we still have, then we're going to reap flesh. We're going to reap corruption. Corruption, death, decay, ruin in our lives. But if we sow to the Spirit, that Spirit there is capitalized as the Holy Spirit. If we live in obedience to God's Word and allow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He'll produce eternal life in us. So we do reap what we sow, even spiritually. That brings us to the third part of our lesson on the doctrine of sin. It's the remedy for sin. Look at your note there. It says, sin is a disease or spiritual malady or sickness that can be cured only by divine prescription. It can be cured. There are a lot of things that we deal with in sickness and things like that. They cannot be cured humanly. But the sin of disease can be totally cured. And the remedy is stated right there, is the blood of Christ. Only the blood of Christ. We've got 7 different scriptures listed here. We will not have time to go through them. I'm going to look at a couple of them for you. And then please take these home and go through each one of them, because they all are talking about a remedy, part of the remedy for the sin in our lives, and all deal with the blood. But Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." In whom, we're talking about Jesus, through the blood. We can be redeemed only through the blood. What did Jesus say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life," as He was talking to His disciples just before He was going to leave them, not too long before He's going to be crucified. I think we sometimes put emphasis on the wrong words there. Maybe we should read, "I am the way." There is no other way. You can't get from here to there without the blood of Jesus. You can't get from here to there without going by way of the cross. You must trust Jesus and what He's already accomplished for us. And it's not because of anything we deserve, forgiveness. It's because of His love for us. He's already paid the ransom for us. But it's through His blood on the cross that He did that. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Jesus took the punishment for human beings. And I think it's important that we notice there the first words, "who His own self bare our sins." You know, He could have sent somebody else. He could have designated somebody else to die and be the forgiveness of our sins. But He didn't. He did it Himself. His own blood. His blood that's pure. That's what it takes, the pure blood of Christ. And the only way we can live unto righteousness is God looks down and He looks at Jay. He doesn't see my righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's imputed to me because of what Jesus did on the cross, because He shed His blood. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." He was sinless, and He didn't become sin. He just took upon Himself our sin and bare it for us. In Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." No sacrifice other than His blood can get us into heaven. Sin is a terrible thing that we live with, but we don't have to allow it to become our lives. We don't have to allow it to dominate our lives. You know, when a child's born, innocent little child, they're still born sinners. You don't have to teach a child how not to sin. They already know how to sin. That's what we do. We have to teach them not to sin. We need to do it with the same love and patience that Jesus Christ has had with us. Even today, He's long-suffering. He's patient. He loves us. And He's still today gives us the opportunity to repent, to keep a clean slate every single day. We can start again. There's a gospel song that I like. It's called "The Tomb is Still Empty." And it starts off, this quartet singing, and he said, two women were headed to the temple that day, and they were wondering how they were going to get the stone rolled away. But when they got there, they saw that it had already been rolled away. And the whole gist of the song is, it's still empty today. It's still His blood. Nothing but the blood can wash away our sins. We live in a sin-filled world. We need to do our best to live a sin-free life. We know we'll never be sin-free, but we can certainly learn to sin less. The doctrine of sin. Father, we thank You for all the wonderful blessings You give us. Thank You that You sent Your Son, that He was willing to pay the sin debt that we owe. And truly that He is the way. He's given us the truth. He is the truth, Your word. And He alone, His blood, can give us eternal life. We're so thankful for that. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for being so long patient. Long suffering and patient with us. Help us to do our best, Lord, to live for You, to put You first. To do our best to sin less, to take Your word, apply it to our lives, to be the very best that we can be for You. Jesus was willing to die for us. Help us to be willing to live for Him. Thank You for giving us Your word. Give us opportunities to witness this week, we pray, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.